Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after 1 o'clock. Don't forget, we have college basketball on the airwaves tonight. Join Jerry Schimmel on the call as the UNC Bears get set to take on San Jose State. See if the Bears can jump over that 500 mark. And then later on this week, on Saturday, we'll see UNC and CSU. I love that matchup. For me, it's like kill two birds with one stone. Two of the local teams that we follow. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Boy, CSU, as we've been talking about, something else. Mike Brohard joining us now from CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, never a doubt, right? Even when this team was down 20 with 17 minutes left, never a doubt that the Rams were going to come back and win this thing.
Oh, absolutely not. I thought they had them right where they wanted them.
It's crazy. How crazy is that, though, to do this at St. Thomas in this tournament? You've played so many games in the span of like 6 days, and yet you find a way to dig deep in the second half of a basketball game where you're down, and not only you win, you end up winning by 10 points.
The interesting thing was to me was the defensive pressure that they turned up. So they looked sluggish. They looked a little bit slow defensively. But obviously, that's what they had to have in the second half if you're going to come back. You can play great offensively, but if you don't improve defensively, you're not going to get stops. It's not going to change the scoreboard. So that's exactly what they did. They came out and played with great defensive intensity in the second half, and that's really what kind of sparked the comeback. And that's what you really want to see. You know this team can play offense. You want to see them continue to get better defensively as this year moves along.
Yeah, when they did decide to turn it on, though, that defensive side, that pressure, I mean, it was one of those things, man, where you just saw this aggressive style of defense. But on the offensive side, things just slowed down. They kept playing within themselves. They got that two-man game going with Stevens and Roddy. And again, you got to be impressed with the depth of this team, too. You have your big guys getting points, your big stars getting points. But, I mean, pretty much everybody's involved in this one last night.
Yeah, but everybody had to be involved defensively, and when you start that way, then you can also get the transition game going. You know, you saw, you know, Stevens, I remember the one time, you know, it was a rebound by Tanjay, quickly hands off to Stevens who fired it up court. Roddy gets an easy bucket. Those are the things CSU wants to do, but you can't do that if you're pulling the ball out of the bottom of the hoop. You know, you've got to go ahead and get stops. You've got to get rebounds and steals in order to run. And that's what CSU did so much better defensively in the second half.
David Roddy's had some great games. Obviously, MVP of this tournament, no doubt about it. Well deserving. And I want to talk about him in a moment. But Isaiah Stevens, I think the ability to not turn the ball over when you have the ball in your hands all the time is something we cannot overlook.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think it's this. I mean, you look at it and you think David Roddy's the best player on that team, and that's fine. I don't think it'd be a fun argument to have, but I think you'd also argue that Stevens might be the most important player on that team because he keeps everybody calm. He keeps the offense clicking. He keeps them low turnover. And you really don't have somebody like him on the bench that can go ahead and direct that offense the way he does and keep people calmed down when things aren't going well on the floor with whatever it is. It could be, you know, a couple defensive, you know, possessions where they're just not playing well. He's the one that can get them calmed down. So I think he's really important in that regard too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's so many guys. There's the role players. There's the special players. And the Rams have a little bit of everything there. I liked the post game in the locker room, seeing that, Mike, Coach. I always love seeing that with this Rams basketball team. You just feel it, whether you're watching it, whatever. You feel that this team truly loves their coach. Medved's going down the roster saying, hey, this guy did that. Get this guy did that. All off the top of his head. You just know this team, they're ready to go to battle for this coach, no matter what this entire coaching staff.
Well, yeah, and that's what he instills. I mean, Team Together has been his motto for about 2-3 years now, and they do. They do this as a team. They do everything together as a team. Everybody's role is important, even if it's just as, you know, in practice, if it's as a scout team player, given the starters good looks. I mean, everybody feels a part of that program, and that is a culture that he's created. It's like a family, and it's. I talked to Thistlewood and Kendall Moore about this. You know, they were his first recruits. That's what attracted them, is that was part of his message to them, is we're going to build a family, we're going to do this. And they said that's all they've ever seen out of this program, and they've helped really kind of foster that as things have moved along.
We're talking to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, you've seen a lot of great players over the years on the basketball side, and a lot of players that have gone on to play basketball professionally. I don't think there's many doubting that Roddy is the kind of guy that can get paid to play basketball. When you look at him, do you see an NBA talent? And I know we're six games into this season, but it does seem like he's cranked it up a notch or two.
Well, I think he's on his path there to get serious consideration to do that. I don't know if his height and body style combined, you look at him and go, he's definitely this or he's definitely that on an NBA court. But then again, you got a lot of players in the NBA that don't fit a mold that play well. So I think he's definitely on that path. And he's a kid that just does nothing but try to improve all the time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and you're seeing it, too. I mean, what I like, too, is he's efficient. I mean, 10 of 13, it's not like he's just throwing it all over the place. He's getting to the free throw line as well, 6 of 7, and just important situations in this game for him. And again, as you mentioned, everything really needs to flow when you're getting ready to make a comeback like that. And what a time to do it and go ahead and win the Paradise Jam Championship. Now this team, well, we'll get set for a local matchup. UNC making the long journey all the way over to Fort Collins on Saturday.
Yeah, a whole half hour drive. Yeah. No, it'll be an interesting game, and hopefully there will be a crowd there even over the holiday weekend. There won't be students probably from either school unless they're really close by, but it should still be a fun game in that regard. I mean, last night's win for CSU was important in the way it happened, them having to come back. It gives them some confidence. I think they already knew that they could do that. But to actually do it and not think you can do it is a big step.
When do you start looking at – and I know we're all saying this team's for real. We're all saying, hey, we're going to be disappointed if this team doesn't go dancing. But, I mean, Mike, 6-0, and even when they're struggling and they're looking like they're not going to have a good game, they somehow pull it out, and we're looking at an amazing second half. How far do you think this team can go? I mean, when do you start looking at it saying, this is not only a top 25 team, this might be a team well beyond top 25?
I think that's the case, and I think a lot of people are going to get excited about these things. It's a long season. You got to make sure that everybody stays healthy and all that good stuff, but we'll see. But they definitely have the potential to make some noise in November.
Yeah. Mike, what do you got going for us, man, that we can check out at CSURams.com?
Well, I'll have a couple stories this week, but I got to get going here pretty soon. Football practice just ended. I got to do some interviews.
All right, my man. We'll let you go. Keep grinding. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. You could hear it in the background, right? You could hear people crowding around Mr. Brohard as they're getting set, getting done with practice there. But, we didn't even get a chance to talk about – maybe that's a good thing. Didn't get a chance to talk about CSU football. I mean, it's like night and day difference.
Don't bring this down, Brady.
Ah, right? Night and day difference with the programs. You know what's crazy about this? This is probably before your time around the area, but – I don't know how much you paid attention to CSU beforehand, but it's kind of the opposite effect. I mean, it was Larry Eustace as the head coach for the Rams, and they were good for a while with him. And then it started to get to the point where they weren't so good, and then all the arguments coming out, the cases coming out, that he wasn't such a nice dude. And we won't get into too much of it, but ultimately they were in a tough spot. The basketball program was a dumpster fire, and I think that was still Bobo, right? And Bobo, it wasn't great nor bad. It was just kind of like, it's not a major concern. They're winning seven games. They're getting to bowl games. That basketball program was a dumpster fire, and then it transitions. It was a really tough time for CSU, for Joe Parker, for everybody. And then they make that hire with Nico Medved, and he wins, what, 11 or 12 games in his first year? And then the year after that, they win 20. And then of course, last year, the COVID year, pretty darn successful. So, yeah, it's completely flipped. The switch is flipped here. And I'm not saying Adazio is in the Eustace territory at all. I'm just saying that as far as programs being in the quote-unquote dumpster fire, it feels like it right now for this football team. Now, they got one more game going up against Nevada, and we'll see. I'm not doing my picks yet. I went 4-0 over the weekend, Angel. I don't know if you...
That's new.
Popped over the 500 mark. So that's it. This weekend is huge because you said I need to be six games over 500.
Yep.
I won't achieve that goal this weekend, but I still got Broncos to pick, and then I have a couple of bowl games. I'll have Air Force in a bowl game, so I'll be able to pick that and then Broncos for the rest of the season. So the plan is... here, because I'm 24-23. So if I go 4-0 this weekend, you know, you're sitting at 28-23, plus I got Broncos games to call throughout. So there's a darn good chance I can get over that precious six over 500 mark.
You had the Thursday night special too, right?
Yeah, we don't really count that toward the local stuff, but we are, two in a row.
There you go.
Two in a row, feeling good about that. So, I got three Thursday night specials. Woo! This week.
Because we got Turkey Day football.
We got some epic football.
Get to watch the Lions.
Oh, dude, look at this. Look at this. Look at this card, if you will, for Thursday. Let's see. Bears and Lions.
Tradition.
Yeah, but still 3-7, 0-9. Raiders, Cowboys. I mean, the Raiders are 5-5. This is.
It's a nice game to have on while you're eating.
Yeah, it's not really a must win for the Raiders yet, but it's getting close if they want to make the playoffs. Bills, Saints.
Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Sims. The better he does, the better my argument comes for giving Drew Locke more time. See what I mean? There's always a way to find your place back to your original arguments.
Do you want Siemian back now? Is he the guy?
No, he's not the guy. But the case is, you give him time. 6 years later, he could have been your guy.
We'll never know.
Sometimes it is. And what about this? What about this Taysom Hill agreement? Did you see that?
I did. That's very interesting.
So it, like, I don't know what I don't have the deal in front of me, but it, like, fluctuates depending on how much he plays at quarterback and how much he plays at, flex position or whatever.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So if he has, 10 snaps at quarterback, 15 snaps at receiver, you'll get the appropriate amount for each.
That's bizarre. Is that the first of its kind?
I saw it was like the first hybrid contract, and I think that could be something you see in the future.
Oh,
we talk about all these athletes in high school play DB and wide receiver.
Look what Carolina did. Now, not last week. I love how Cam Newton says it's all about the team, but did you see his intro?
That was pretty cool.
It was cool, but it's like, it's all about the team.
It's better than that CGI panther they have running around.
That thing's freaky, man. That thing will get you. But no, what you saw 2 weeks ago with Carolina is using two quarterbacks. You see it with the Saints. Do you think we're going to start seeing more NFL teams? And which I don't like, but maybe you get a team that thinks they don't have their franchise guy, so we're going to mix and match. You know, if we can run on this team, Taysom Hill. If we're going to pass on this team, Winston or Trevor Siemian.
It'd be interesting. You'd like to see some unique styles in the NFL. You know, you have your trick plays, your wildcat stuff. The Saints, you obviously have the two quarterbacks. I think there's a lot they can do with it.
Part of me, I used to give Josh McDaniels crap for this because he had Kyle Orton, and then he drafted Tim Tebow. And you're thinking, if Orton goes down, you're a completely different offense. But I'm guessing in the back of his mind, there was part of him that was thinking, we might use Tebow in some of these instances where if it's a team we think we can run on with a quarterback. I think it's more likely now because what are we seeing now in the NFL? Faster defenses, not necessarily bigger defenses. So you're working to try to outrun these guys, and that's where Taysom Hill comes in. 48 minutes after the hour, we got to take a break. Wrap up. What's on the tube tonight? What's interesting to you? What's on the radio? We'll look at it when we come back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.